Michael Cromie, thank you, Michael. Michael Cromie from the Office for Disability joins us now, and Amy, is that Amy?
Yes.
And Amy Spurway is joining me here on the table. We're going to get a little bit of an update from Michael about some goings on within the office, and then I have a couple of questions for Michael. And then it's over to you for any questions you might have about the Office for Disability. And we'll aim to finish on the dot as scheduled at 4 p.m. So, Michael, I'll just hand over to you for the time being.
I invited Amy up because I couldn't represent a panel on my own. So, but I do also want to acknowledge Amy is with us for one more week within the office, so I want to acknowledge and thank her for all the hard work. It's a bit self-indulgent, but I think it's important that we acknowledge the work that Amy's been putting in for the office. And Fleur Campbell, who some of you might know, returns from mat leave after that, so thanks to Amy.
Thank you, Amy.
Just also want to mention that the office obviously funds the Disability Advocacy Resource Unit, but some of the other organisations they fund were successful in the Victorian Disability Sector Awards. So Pauline's here from AMIDA, and they auspiced the Self-Advocacy Resource Unit that were highly commended in the Excellence in Advocacy and Rights Promotion Award, which was terrific, and a great congratulations to yourself and to Saru. And I don't think Jackie Brown's here, but she was also acknowledged at the awards as well in the Emerging Leader category. So, yeah, I just wanted to mention them because that was fantastic that they were all their hard work was also acknowledged. So over to you for your questions.
I've got a whole series of questions to grill you with, Michael, on behalf of those present and those who'll be listening. Sorry if I scared you.
That's a good start.
Our service agreements for those organisations that are funded by the Victorian Government to do disability advocacy. Do you have any news for us about our service agreements, when we're getting them?
Hopefully it has an impact on your funding for a start. To those that are funded through the Victorian Disability Advocacy Program, your funding hopefully has been received, and obviously you've received a July payment and hopefully in the next few days receive an August payment. That would be pleasing. If you haven't, please let me know straight after this, and you may not be here if you haven't. So it's certainly the case that the funding and service agreements rolled over into this financial year. The actual document, the funding and service agreement, hasn't been received by organisations across all areas, but we don't expect any major change to those funding and service agreements. You will receive them very shortly, but I did want to mention here that obviously the caveat that I've previously mentioned around the full scheme rollout of the National Disability Insurance Scheme will obviously occur in the period of this next three-year service agreement. So based on the arrangements for the implementation of the scheme, there may be changes to funding and service agreements. So whilst you get a three-year funding and service agreement, and as I said, you should get that shortly, there may be some changes over the life of that funding and service agreement as more is known about the rollout of the scheme.
Thanks, Michael. Recently, the Office for Disability organised some forums or some consultations around the State Disability Plan. And there was a forum specifically for advocates,
yep,
and a forum for peak bodies within Victoria. Can you just tell us a little bit about any of the outcomes arising out of those forums and what the next steps might be?
Yeah, so we're focusing our attention on the 2017 to 2020 State Disability Plan. And obviously, as we go through this period, the landscape in Victoria is going to change markedly with the emergence of the National Disability Insurance Scheme. But clearly there's still a massive role for state government and for the state, the community within the state as well, to drive change. So with that in mind, we have been consulting on the next State Disability Plan, and we had a session, I think, mid-June, with advocacy organisations and peak bodies, as you mentioned, that was fantastic in the robust discussion that took place from both those groups. And we've also gone out to hard-to-reach groups as well. So we've done a whole range of other consultations aside from that, but I did just want to mention the advocacy ones because obviously that is the major focus of this group. Unsurprisingly, I guess people have provided us with feedback that they want the next plan to be much clearer in what it seeks to achieve. People want it to have genuine cross-government, the potential for genuine cross-government input, which means in the previous plan, I've mentioned this before, there were 150 actions across government, but there was real concern from the community and people with a disability that they were really hard to measure what people were seeking to get from each of those 150 actions. So the focus now seems to be, certainly from the feedback we got from advocacy sector and others, is that it needs to be much clearer on a couple of major areas of focus, and that those areas of focus have very clear, measurable outcomes attached to them. So that's unsurprising, really, because I'm sure that's their things that you would say and have been saying over and over again about what needs to occur. But there were themes that came out again of those advocacy sector discussions. So the where to from here question, Robin, is those consultations have been fed into our policy and strategy team, and the work that they're doing in understanding across the board, including hard to reach groups and including the self-advocacy resource unit, were really central in their discussions with self-advocates and others. That information's compiled, and we go out with a consultation draft later this year for people to consider whether or not they feel their feedback has been incorporated, and whether for the next state disability plan what we're saying we're going to do resonates with what you think needs to be done in Victoria. So stay tuned for that. We'll definitely be back in contact with all the advocacy organisations, but it'll be in a variety of other places too, for people with a disability, their families, carers, to also participate in these next phases of consultation. And that, as I said, should happen later this year, if not early 2016. And it is a time to actually really think about what you think still needs to be achieved. Yeah.
I'm just curious, was there any consistencies between the different consultations, the advocates and the peak bodies and the people that you did more of the outreach with?
Yep. Yeah, there were. I mean, certainly rights. Rights is either absolutely stated concern that rights are continued to be upheld and promoted, either stated or certainly underlying most of the consultations we had. Economic participation of people with a disability, labour force participation, but the opportunities that people with a disability don't have to participate in the economy, regardless of, as a result of not having work, but also just generally in social and activities, has come up time and time again in all our consultations as being an area that needs to focus on. Housing and lack of housing is certainly of concern in context of the NDIS, but regardless of the NDIS as well. So people concerned that, yes, the NDIS is coming, but that doesn't deal with at the moment there's not a clear understanding of how it deals with the issue of lack of housing and homelessness and those sorts of areas continue to come up. And I'm missing something else here. Education.
Leadership.
Education, leadership, yeah. The opportunities for people to so education for sure always comes up. It's always about that opportunity that starts at the education point and then stems on into opportunities for employment. Certainly that is a continued concern for state government that they need to focus on, because it needs to be part of a universal platform of education. But then also leadership opportunities for people with a disability to participate at the highest level, both in terms of government, boards, committees, and in any other areas that have influence in the state. And there's a real lack, dearth of people in those sort of roles. So, they were certainly some of the key themes that came up. And choice, particularly in hard to reach groups, when I talked about housing, people just didn't feel like they could get housing, and where they did have housing, for example, in community residential units, they weren't given choice of who they lived with, where they lived. So that certainly is another key theme.
All right, thank you. You mentioned earlier the NDIS. Is there any update you can give us around the NDIS in terms of, you know, the Victorian government? We know that the bilateral agreement between the states and the Commonwealth is going to be signed supposedly in September.
Yep.
But is there any update you can give us around that?
So the NDIS for me feels a little bit at a point where a lot more is going to be known, and because the bilaterals will be signed in late August between Victoria and the Commonwealth Government, probably the next meeting that we have of this will be much more much clearer in what the future directions are. Obviously there's still a number of stumbling blocks being worked through between the state and the federal government. Handing over a huge sum of money to the federal government, but doesn't mean that the responsibility of the state in guiding policy is lost in that. So those bilaterals are all about that, discussion around the practicalities of who does what part, but also what part the state will continue to play into the future with regards to shaping policy and influencing the NDIS and the way it pans out. So the other thing, I guess, in regards to that is that systemic advocacy and legal review and representation are funded outside of the NDIS. That's one thing that's been fairly clear through the Disability Reform Council, which is all the first ministers meeting together and discussing what isn't within the scheme. And the other thing to think about, I guess, is, or for all of us to think about, I guess, is the state of play for advocacy into the future, which is still, it's difficult to kind of know exactly how it's going to look, but what we know is that it will be impacted by the NDIS and is impacting on the NDIS itself. The National Disability Advocacy Framework is under review. The National Disability Advocacy Program is under review later this year, and the future of that program will be further known. And still the state wants to have a look at what the NDIS means for advocacy and what those other national programs look like before we make a final judgment on where the state lands with disability advocacy. So all those moving parts are still moving, but hopefully more is known after August, and then as we continue to sort of understand what it all means over the next half of this calendar year. Sorry if I can't, that's as clear as I am about it. We'd also wondered whether we should have someone from our NDIS reform team within DHHS come and speak to a future Daru forum, because instead of me stumbling over all this stuff and trying to make sense of it all.
Well, I mean, once the bilateral agreement
that'd be a good time.
That's really when there are some more known knowns, as they say. Interestingly, just mentioning the National Disability Advocacy Framework, I suspect we had a few people who registered who didn't turn up today, and I suspect they're doing a last-minute putting together of their submissions, because the submission date was extended to tomorrow, to the 31st of July. And I'll just spruik a little bit of what Daru's been doing in conjunction with a few people that are in the room today, but certainly in conjunction with Disability Advocacy Victoria and VCOS, who deliver Daru in consortium. Daru held convened a roundtable with there were about 14 advocacy organisations a couple of weeks ago, and we've pulled together a submission on behalf of that roundtable.
Yeah, right.
So we'll certainly be making that submission, lodging that submission tomorrow.
Yep.
And there was quite a chunk in that submission around the impact of the NDIS and what role disability advocacy could play in there. So
I might just say one more thing about it that I sort of neglected to mention, and that is that, you know, at the advocacy forum that we had in June, the national program, Carolyn Wilkes came and spoke about, and was very clear that there will continue to be a national disability advocacy program into the future. So any review, any sort of work they're doing in the reform area is not about reducing or stopping that program, but there might be some changes with it. The other thing to mention too is that the Ombudsman Victoria Inquiry into Abuse and Neglect had really strong signals about the importance of advocacy in Victoria, and we in the Office for Disability welcomed that. We thought that was a great sort of signal for the importance of the program, and certainly I think helps this sector in demonstrating, not that it should have to do that, but demonstrating its worth and its importance when it comes to areas like abuse and neglect as well. So it was very clear in that report that the importance of advocacy is a key part of a safeguarding framework.
It was quite pleasing to see, wasn't it?
Yep.
My last question to you, Michael, before we hand over to anyone who might have a question in the room, and I'll declare this myself here by saying I've got a vested interest in this, but the Victorian Disability Advisory Council, on which I'm a member, is a ministerial advisory council that advises Minister Foley. Can you just tell us a little bit about the council, because it is supported by the Office for Disability, but in particular, can you tell us a little bit about how disability advocates can assist their clients to take advantage of VDAC and perhaps even recommend to their clients to make applications to join the council when the time comes?
It's sort of a Dorothy Dixer, but this bit isn't. Robin's been a two-term member now of the Victorian Disability Advisory Council, which means that she's donated so much of her time pretty much voluntarily. There are sitting fees that people receive through being on council, but that really probably just covers you for the time you spend on council. And has been a really, really important member in conveying the views of the extensive networks that you're engaged with. So you are a member of the council, so I want to acknowledge that you've done that role in incredibly impressive way for the time that I've known you anyway. So we've had, it is a 14-person council that does report to the Minister for Disability and Ageing, Minister Foley, so it is a really important part of the conduit through to government, and the decision making that takes place by the Minister is often informed by what the Victorian Disability Advisory Council, the information that's been provided to him. So whilst the Office for Disability plays a secretariat role alongside it, it's the views of council that really the Minister is interested in, and we need to provide those views through to the Minister when they're presented by the council. So the council's made up of people on the basis of expertise, experience and networks in the disability and carers community, and presently and will forever, I guess, have certainly representation from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds and Indigenous communities, and a mix of metro and rural Victorians as well. As I mentioned, the sitting fees are received for council members, but you're not going to retire on that, Robin, I wouldn't have thought.
No.
It's not an amazing amount of money, but it certainly is important that the role is acknowledged through the payments of those. Process from here is that we will have expressions of interest, we think. The Minister needs to sign off on process as well, but likely to be around May 2016 for new members. There'll be a number of members that have served two terms, so opportunities for people to apply and hopefully become part of the Victorian Disability Advisory Council into the future. Three-year terms, so three-year terms generally, and with an interview process after the first term. Usually the council meets about six times per year in the Lonsdale Street office, so just up the road here on the Minister's floor. Often the Parliamentary Secretary attends the meetings, and so the Minister's Parliamentary Secretary will be present usually in an ex officio role. And it's really important. that the right people sit on that council, because if you get the right blend of expertise, knowledge and networks, then it's incredible the power that they can have in advising the minister on things that he should be looking at. So it is really important that if either yourself or someone you know is interested and you think they would be able to provide strategic advice based on the networks they have, that you provide, because we will be sending out information about the process through the advocacy groups and others, other networks that we've got, that get it to them, because it'd be fantastic that we can continue on with the sort of body of work that's been put in by Robin and her colleagues on council. So it's a shameless plug, but it is so important that council continues to have the sort of strength that it can have in providing advice to government. So we'll send through the information about that and give you the inbox details for VDAC, so you can pass it on to anyone you think might be of interest for.
Yeah, and I'd really encourage everyone here to at least help someone to nominate, encourage at least one person to nominate, and give Michael and his team too much work in terms of having to sift through all the applications. Thanks for that, Michael. Do we have any questions that you might have of Michael Cromie from the Office for Disability?
Esther's walking out. That's a no worries. Obviously enjoyed that. Excuse me, yes, you're quite right. Thank you for reminding me.
See you, Esther. Any questions? Oh, okay. Everybody wants to get home and battle that wind.
Thanks for hanging around.
Thank you, Michael.
No worries.
Before I let everybody go, just two, maybe three quick comments. Thank you so much for your participation today. I hope your expectations were somewhat met today. We really, as always, myself and Natasha, really value your feedback. So please, if you haven't already completed an evaluation form, if you have completed your evaluation form, can you leave it at the registration desk as you leave? If you haven't completed it and you need to rush off, don't worry, because when we send you through the link to our webpage with all of the resources arising out of today, you'll get an electronic copy. So we're happy to receive either hard copy or electronic copy feedback. We honestly welcome it, constructive or otherwise. It's really helpful, because it does. We do utilise your feedback to formulate each the agenda for each forum. Whilst I'm spruiking Daru, we have some training workshops that we've developed out of the Certificate for in Disability Advocacy that will be coming up later this year in September and October. And there's three that I can will be promoting very, very soon. One is on the topic of empowering people with disability. It'll be a half-day workshop. The other is safeguarding the rights of people with disability. And again, that's another half-day workshop, free for disability advocates and people with disability. And the other is making representative complaints. And again, that's another half-day workshop. So, watch out in the DARA update, check out the DARA website for dates and times and how to register for that training, and I do hope you can come. All that is left for me to say now is thank you very much to all of our speakers today. Thank you very much to the Queen Vic Women's Centre for this great venue. Thank you to Michael and Tristan for your audio and technical expertise. Natasha, thank you so much for being calm all the time and always ordering fabulous food. Thank you, Sorghum Sisters, for the fabulous food. And thank you for your participation today. Our next forum...
Thank you.
Our next forum, Advocacy Sector Conversations Forum, is on the 22nd of October. And my working title for the theme for the forum is Safeguarding the Rights of People with Disabilities. I will be sending a letter of invitation to the Victorian Ombudsman and asking her to come and present at that forum. And I thought I'd say it in this forum so that at least we can all exert pressure on her. So Thank you so much for today. Safe journeys home, and we'll see you next time.